Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for this podcast in partnership with APAC Med. Today, we're going to be discussing strategies to increase access of digital health solutions to patients and really have a good look at the advancement of digital health in the new normal. I am Dean Ho. I am currently the director of the Institute for Digital Medicine at the National University of Singapore in the Yong Wu Lin School of Medicine, where we develop digital health and digital therapeutic technologies to address areas ranging from cardiology to oncology. And with me today is Johan Sapanel. I'll turn it over to him for an intro.
Thank you, Dean, and hello, everyone. Hello, Dean. And I'm Johan, the head of health innovations at the NUS Institute for Digital Medicine, WISDOM in short. And my role today, as well as my interest, is to bridge the implementation gap for digital health solutions that we are going to discuss shortly.
Thanks, Johan. So we're going to start things off with defining what digital health is and what it means for the patients. Johan, do you want to start things off with a description of this?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Dean. So what we have seen, and I think for the context, right, what we have seen recently, it's really an increase in the availability of technology, right? Especially digital health solutions. And that will include mobile health, health information technology, wearable devices, telehealth, telemedicine, and personalized medicine solutions. And in essence, that's the WHO definitions of digital health solutions. Some would describe digital health solutions as the next frontier in healthcare, right? And they can, without a doubt, help screen, diagnose, and intervene earlier, right? Offering a much more personalized approach at the patient's level for a better outcome. But at the same time, I think this increase in availability of digital health solutions simply does not guarantee adoption. I'm sure we are going to discuss later, such as any regulatory approvals do not guarantee reimbursement. And we are just at the beginning of this digital transformation. And there are still a few challenges ahead for us, right? We need to overcome to ensure that every one of us, being at the hospitals, GP, at home, we have access to digital health solutions. So if we go one level deeper on these definitions of digital health solutions, what we see is that there are three broad categories of digital health solutions. The first one is what we call the wellness and support. And you think about lifestyle, apps, fitness tracker, your Fitbit, Apple Watch, Oura Ring, just to name a few. Telehealth and health information technology will also be in this category. The second category will be the diagnostic and monitoring, such as remote patient monitoring, medication adherence tool, digital diagnostics and biomarker, just again to name a few. The third category are called digital therapeutics. So these are the products that deliver therapeutic interventions directly to patients, right? Through a mobile app or like a platform. And some examples would include of these digital therapeutics would be, for example, digital cognitive, behavioral, and physical therapy. And for a series of conditions and disease, and including stress, anxiety, pain management, sleeping disorder, mental health, diabetes, and so on. And that's quite a large spectrum, as you could see, from the wellness to the digital therapeutics of digital health solutions. Dean, would you have anything to add on these definitions of digital health solutions?
Thanks, Johan. You raised a lot of great points here. And something that certainly resonates with me a lot is the concept of digital therapeutics. And we're going to talk about this more, but when we think about the key characteristics and what's ahead for the field, I think we're seeing a lot of recent excitement, specifically in the area of digital therapeutics, because of this possibility of delivering interventional care, right? Both monitoring, but at this point, interventional care as well, without the need for pills necessarily. And there's a lot of excitement around and important things to think about when advancing this aspect of digital health with regards to everything from, as you mentioned, from regulatory to infrastructure and beyond. So I think there's a lot of exciting things we're going to be talking about today in this domain. And so, you know, at the end of the day, when we think about digital health, a core foundation of the field is to help patients and to help caregivers and to help providers. So Johan, you know, how relevant, especially now, is digital health for the patients of today and tomorrow?
And yeah, that's a great question. Thanks, Dean. And I think in this new normal, right, digital health solutions would offer quite a few benefits, and particularly from a patient perspective. And maybe two that I would mention today. I think the first one is about these decentralizations of healthcare, and the second one is having this more personalized approach, as you rightly mentioned. So, on the first one, on the decentralizations of the healthcare systems, what we see is that healthcare, in a way, is no longer consumed, right, in the four walls of the hospitals, but outside, in the community, at home. And we have seen, right, the usage of telehealth increasing by 40x during COVID-19. And I think today, when we look and when we think about telehealth, it's not only about doing a supervised ART test for code for some rashes you might have, but also for the management of more complex cases. And we have, for example, at NUH, we have a virtual ward program monitoring COVID-19 patients at home with patients' remote monitoring solutions and wearables. So these are concrete impact on how digital health solutions are impacting our patients' experience today, right, at home in the communities. And I think the second benefit of digital health solutions now in the short term is really about this personalizations of healthcare. And I'm sure, Dean, you will have a lot to add on this point as well. And we all know that we are all different as individuals, as patients. And Dean on Monday will be quite a different, or could be quite a different patient when I might see him a week later. And we therefore constantly need to personalize and optimize as much as possible the healthcare delivery, the interventions, the mechanisms at the patient's level. And in essence, that's the reason why we believe in a more personalized, consumer-centric, data and outcome-driven healthcare systems. And digital health solutions are there and will enable such visions. And I think that's really important for any one of us as patients of today or patients of the future. Dean, would you want to add on that? And I know on the personalizations and how this might help in terms of improving clinical outcomes, that I'm sure you will have a lot of examples to share on that.
Great points, Johan. You know, especially in this age of COVID and pandemics and then emerging out of the pandemic, the ability to remotely monitor and remotely deliver care will become essential as we start thinking about aging in communities and how to harness digital to promote healthy aging and the ability to do this by catalyzing the delivery of care in a remote fashion. With aging, with remote care, we have to think about the cost of care. And all over the world, as we look over the trends from the past few years, the cost of care is clearly increasing around the world. And a lot of that is also driven by chronic illness. And so as we build infrastructures, as we innovate new sensors, and we innovate new digital interventions, along with pharmacologic interventions, the ability to harness digital to push down on this increase in cost of care, while also being able to harness getting the right data to personalize the care, and in many cases remotely, I think collectively, this arsenal is going to be essential to ensuring that we can drive the outcomes that we want in a sustainable and feasible manner.
Yeah. Excellent point. I totally agree, Adina, with what you mentioned. And I think when we think about digital health solutions, we need to think beyond the technology, right? It's not just about getting the technology right. And on that, Dean, it would be great if you could share your thoughts on what would it take really to develop, implement, and adopt digital health solutions today?
Great question. The core ethos for our team at Wisdom is that technology alone cannot transform healthcare. And we follow that foundation every day. We think about multidisciplinary teams and collaborations. And I think what's really important as we advance the field of digital health is that we harness this original foundation of engineers and technologists speaking with clinicians, and we open up even more dimensions of collaboration. For us at Wisdom and many of our collaborators, both in academia and in industry, we recognize that beyond technology validation, we have to think about things like implementation sciences, behavioral sciences, healthcare economics, and beyond. And when we think about our team, and I'll give you a specific example of some technologies we're developing, we are really harnessing that broad spectrum of expertise to ensure that whatever we develop has a chance of being sustainably integrated into healthcare workflows. And how do we do that, right? I'll give you one example of an exciting study harnessing digital health-based personalization and dose optimization technology. This study involves expertise from neuroengineering, right? We have Dr. Agata, who's involved, who's originally a neuroengineer. We have An Trung, Shi Bei, and Dr. Kirtika, who are biomedical engineers. But we also have, you know, Drs. Vivian and Dr. Smriti, who are in behavioral sciences, working together as a team, not only to optimize oncology patient dosing dynamically. Yohan, you raised the point of, you know, we know we're all different from each other, but patients are different from themselves over time. And by harnessing this technology, we're able to dynamically modulate care for patients in an interventional manner. But to do that, it takes a lot of communication and seamless integration all the way to the clinicians and the patients. You know, Dr. Rogoff and beyond at NUH, where we're able to properly assess and then communicate. But then beyond that, we have to think about, what does the patient want? What does the clinician need? How about the nursing and the pharmacist teams? And this is where our behavioral scientists come in to run these qualitative studies to make sure we are identifying barriers and how to overcome them, and also make sure we see the right opportunities and how to make patients' lives, their caregivers' lives, the doctors, nurses, and pharmacists' lives easier as we implement. Right. And we have other examples too, digital therapeutics with Drs. Alex and Dr. Marlena on our team, and working with the clinicians at NUH to ensure that we can remotely deliver care as well, and to look at things like adherence and how to incentivize users to keep engaging with these digital therapeutic platforms. So when we say that technology alone is not enough to transform healthcare, we really do need to work closely and seamlessly with disciplines that go way beyond just the development and the validation of the technology. And I wanted to add that we are in an optimal ecosystem to do so. I think one of the most exciting parts about being here in Singapore is the accessibility of the stakeholders that are necessary to bridge ideation with validation, deployment, implementation, and ultimately, hopefully, adoption. And so these are some of the examples of what it takes to really reimagine multidisciplinary innovation. Yohan, anything to add?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dean. And I think definitely critical areas and capabilities that will be required for any digital health solutions and the teams behind. There is one point that I think I would want to emphasize again is what you mentioned about the importance of having a patient-centric approach. And it always starts, or should always start, with the patient, right? Trying to address a real problem that matters to them and that is clinically relevant. And it's also about having patients, you know, the potential end user, engaged from day one in developing the solution, in developing the digital health solutions. And I think this, for all of us, it's really an important design principle for digital health solutions to ensure that we don't develop solutions looking later for a problem, right? And maybe just to share one best practice in this space, and from the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute in the US, what they did is that they created a patient co-investigator role for their studies. So patients are no longer just, in a way, study participants, right? They are also advisors and they are actively engaged through the research studies to design new digital health solutions. And patients, in a way, should be one of these first ingredients that you might want to consider and have in this recipe, right? About developing and implementing digital health solutions. So that's really important aspect that you mentioned, Dean. So now what's next, Dean? What's the future? What would be required to scale digital health solutions at the national level? Could you share your thoughts about the future of digital health solutions?
Indeed. As we think about the future of the field, there are whole of community efforts that are really needed to do this. And when we think about how to reach true adoption, I think there needs to be more dialogue on best practices, especially from provider perspectives, on how to really scale sustainably and to ensure that the users of the technology are sustainably engaging with these novel platforms. You know, we've talked about implementation sciences, we've talked about behavioral sciences, but of course there are other areas which we probably don't have time to get into too much detail today, but everything from regulatory innovation, all the way to thinking about data privacy and developing infrastructures to seamlessly coordinate both the acquisition of data and how to use that data to drive optimized intervention. I think another area to think about is clinical trial design innovation. Historically, when we think about clinical trials, we think about drug trials or medical device trials. But as we think about emerging technologies like digital therapeutics, or how we can even use digital to innovate how we design drug trials, for example, there's a lot of exciting opportunity there. I think one example that comes to mind is when patients are typically enrolled into a therapeutics trial, for example, they're given, for example, they're randomized to a low dose, a middle dose, or a high dose. And if a patient doesn't respond to a high dose, for example, they are typically removed from the study. But we'll never know. We'll never have known if the patient could have responded to a different dose level. So at Wisdom, for example, we're exploring trial designs that allow patients, even when given the same therapeutic, to experience different dosing ranges. So an intra-patient calibration to ensure that we are potentially capturing more responders to treatment. And so I think beyond what we've discussed before, the concept of being able to advance the design of trials themselves is quite exciting. But to get all of this done, as I briefly mentioned before, it's critical to think about the accessibility of the stakeholders. When we are able to engage with our amazing regulatory community, we're able to engage with our very innovative data community. And to do so quickly, we think about the outcomes that arise from that. You know, they can be life-saving, right? They can be field shifting with regards to how we design better studies and regulate these studies to bring truly optimized solutions to patients faster and to better empower our healthcare providers and ultimately, again, push down on that cost of care. So when we think whole of community, it really does take this, you know, broad spectrum of disciplines and strong communication and understanding between these different stakeholders to really take digital health to the next level. Johan, anything to add?
No, thanks a lot, Dean. I think there is one point you mentioned, but I think we should emphasize again. It is really about the evidence that are required for digital health solutions. And particularly when you think about the spectrum from the wellness to the digital tablets, obviously, they will be subject to different regulatory oversight, different pathways from a reimbursement. But what is key is really about the evidence. And I think generating data, you know, especially real world data and evidence needs to be a top priority. And digital health solutions, as you mentioned, Dean, must demonstrate their efficacy and safety, obviously often in a clinical trial and more also in real life environment. And we all know about what we call this efficacy effectiveness gap, right? The difference between the outcomes received within an RCT, a randomized controlled trial, and those observed in real-world clinical practice. And I think that's a must for digital health solutions, to bridge this gap and overcome ultimately their own valley of death that we see for any tech or non-tech organization. And just to give you an example of what it takes on the evidence generations, EndeavorRx is a digital therapeutics developed by Akili, Akili Interactive in the US, was the first FDA authorized video game treatment for kids with ADHD. And basically the solution targets cognitive processes involved in attention function. And when they received their FDA de novo classifications, and I think this was about 2 years ago, they had already conducted 5 clinical studies with over 600 children with ADHD. So this, you see, this is what it takes really in terms of best practices to generate the right level of evidence, not only for regulatory approval, for reimbursement approval, but to convince any potential payer, being insurance or employers, that you have the right solution to address the right problem and you have the right evidence. And not only over like a few 10 or 12 weeks kind of program, but on a long-term basis in the real life environment. So these are, again, some really important point, I think, that we should stress today. Great. Just to maybe, I don't know, Dean, anything else on that? Or,
you know, I think this takes us to, you know, towards the closing and looking ahead as a community. I think it's important for the community to ultimately reach adoption of these promising technologies. It's important for continued discussion and vibrant collaboration and interaction. And it takes different organizations in the community to help catalyze this. And so with that note, you know, Johan, you and I are part of Wisdom, right? Where we get to work with our own interdisciplinary community. How can organizations like APACMed also play a key role in promoting to help drive digital health towards adoption?
Yep. Thanks, Dean. And I think, as you said, to wrap up, as we have seen, developing and implementing digital health solutions is not just about getting the tech right. And I think that's a really important point that you mentioned earlier. It's also about getting the business model right? And it can be a long and sinuous road for many organizations, but also extremely rewarding. And being part of the this dynamic and quickly evolving ecosystems, which is the APACMed ecosystems and this community, I think is really important to learn from each other what's working, what's not working so well, some best practices, and to really have these conversations with the different stakeholders in these ecosystems. And we mentioned about physicians, we mentioned about patients, about the payers, all the different stakeholders that you have, to exchange on a wide range of topics, right? From regulatory, cybersecurity, reimbursement, health data, interoperability. All of these are critical aspects and expertise that will be required for digital solutions. So I think I would highly encourage anyone to be part of these ecosystems and to share their own experience and to basically learn from each other. Dean, on this learnings and collaborations, anything else you want to add?
Yes, as we start to move towards a phase where the community starts to get together again, I'm really excited to think about how future discussions will lead to exciting breakthroughs, very cool clinical trials being reported, and looking towards changing the way that medicine is practiced. And this kind of makes me reminisce about pre-COVID times. You know, when I had just arrived to Singapore, I had a chance to attend an APACMed event, and at that event, I had a chance to share the stage with leaders in pharma, medical devices, and from both early stage through super huge corporations who were leaders in the field. And so this opportunity to engage with future leaders in the field and existing leaders in the field, again, spanning different types of technology, was inspiring. And so when we think about the community moving forward together, it takes partnerships between all of these key stakeholders, exploring the different disciplines and ensuring that the accessibility is continuing to drive rapid innovation in the space. Ultimately, we know the challenges at hand. We know the cost of care is going up. We know that there are issues like chronic disease, oncology, and other facets where digital health can play a key role. And so when we think about moving forward, just starting things off with dialogue and allowing the different disciplines to understand each other, to bridge the languages of these disciplines, working with these community partners is a foundation for getting that done. And so today, it's been a great time chatting with you, Johan, about what digital health is, where it's headed, and what it's going to take for the field to reach new heights. And so with that, I wanted to wish everybody, you know, the best of luck as we pursue new innovations in the space, and to thank everybody and to thank Johan for joining us today, and looking forward to seeing everybody soon. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.